Welcome to the Sunday night service. This is going to be a service where we hear from those who were on missions trips, and we're going to sing congregational songs on that theme. So we'll start with hymn number 298, O Zion Haste. Stand please as we sing.
Welcome to Stanley Heights Baptist Church. We're so glad you're here with us. If this is indeed your first time with us or your first time in a long time, would you go ahead and raise up your hand? Our men there have a welcome packet, connection point booklet they want to put in your hand, tell you a little bit about us. Inside that, there is a guest card, and we'd love to have you fill that out and then place it either in the back hand of one of the ushers, put it in either of the offering boxes you go out. We'd love to have a record of your visit and invite you to come back when our pastor is with us. He is not able to be with us tonight. We'll pray for him in just a moment and his wife as they're traveling tonight. But so glad you are with us tonight at Stanley Heights. Looking forward to presenting and hearing about the different things that our church members have been able to be involved in. Missions trips recently. Trust you are looking forward to that. Let me just touch base on a few other things tonight. Of course, we have a regular service. Wednesday, we'll have folks getting ready for VBS, have our final summer kids. And then next Sunday night is different. Next Sunday night starts VBS. So this is going to be different. The time is going to be different. We're not meeting at 5 like we normally do. We're going to be meeting at 6:45. What time, church? 6:45. Now, you're welcome to come at 5. You can sit here. You can pray. You can help prepare for VBS. But you'll be a little lonely if you get here at 5 o'clock. So next week, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, 5 nights in a row. At what time? 6:45. Okay, now if you're a worker, be here earlier than that. But that's the time we're starting VBS for the next for those 5 nights starting next Sunday. Be in prayer for that. This is not something we do just because. This is not something we do just because it's summer and we need something to do to fill the calendar. But we want this to be an opportunity where God gives us new people, people that need the Lord, young families, young people, that God would bring us people who need Jesus, that would be able to minister to them. So would you pray with us? Make a commitment to be part of the prayer team. We want God to work in a mighty way. So that is coming up. You can see in your bulletin other things, invitations to celebrate freedom and other things. Let's go ahead and we will say our verse, 1 Peter 2:13, 15, and 16, talking about the biblical ethics of authority. Let's say it together. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. We'll pray in just a moment, and when we do, I'd like to ask you to pray this week. Pastor and Miss Vicky had somewhat of a last-minute trip. They pulled together to go up to be in Ohio with family. They had news this week of a family member, a loved one, who's had some recently discovered serious health issues. And so there's concern there with this loved one's well-being, and so they're up there in Ohio to be with this family member. And would you pray for gospel opportunities, for open doors, for receptive hearts, that God would use them as they seek to be there in a time of real importance in this family member's life, and that also that God would open hearts to the gospel. That's something that I know they're praying about, and I hope that you will pray with them as well, something very near and dear to their heart. So when we pray, we'll pray for them. We also want to pray for Michael and Barbara Hinson. They're going to be arriving, Lord willing, this week. They said it might be as early as the 18th, but maybe the 19th, depending on flights. And they'll be staying over in our Bethany House apartment. What a wonderful tool God has given us to serve our missionaries on furlough. And so Michael and Barbara will be staying there. They'll be here for about a total of 5 weeks, Michael said. So they'll be going and visiting a church or two. But they're going to be with us, and they're looking forward to spending some time here at our church. And Pastor asked that they come here, spend some time with family, and also be here with our people. And so I trust you will take this time to love on them, talk to them, encourage them, spend time with them, have them over to your house, buy their children presents, whatever you want to do. Truly love on them. This is their chance for them to reconnect with their home church. And they've been here, but not a lot. And so please take the time to make sure you welcome them, reach out to them, give them some time with grandma, of course. But we're looking forward to having the Hinsons here, and let's try to be an encouragement, to be a blessing with them. And I know they will be to you while they're here. Let's pray, and then after that, you can be seated. Father, we bring these requests to you tonight, asking that you would work, Lord, that you, in your powerful and mighty and sovereign and loving way, would accomplish that which only you can do. Lord, we can plan, we can prepare, we can, Lord, we can preach, we can invite, but we know that ultimately the things that really matter are supernatural and things that only you can do, the heart work that makes a difference for eternity. I pray for each one tonight that we would be open to your Spirit's working. Lord, if there is something you would speak tonight to encourage a heart, Lord, to challenge a heart, Lord, maybe there's one that needs to be willing to follow you, to go, to give your word. Lord, whatever it is, I pray that you would work, that your Spirit would have freedom tonight. Be with our pastor and his wife as they're heading to Ohio to see ones that they love, or those that have had recently just bad news. Lord, I pray that this would be an opportunity for the gospel, that there would be an openness to your word. Lord, that you would speak and tenderize hearts. Lord, that you would use even the bad things that happen for your glory. Lord, we pray that this would be a time where there is rejoicing in heaven over those that respond to your word. We pray for the Hinsons as they'll be traveling here. Lord, give them safety as they come. We thank you for their work there in the country of Georgia in a very difficult, very challenging field. We thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you for how you're using them, and we ask that this short furlough would be a time of encouragement for them, that it would be a sweet time together with family and even with the churches that they're able to interact with. I pray that we, as their sending church, as their home church, the ones that hold the ropes for them, Lord, that we would let them know how much they are appreciated and how much we support them and how much we want to see them continue doing what you've called them to do. Lord, I pray that this would be truly a refreshing time for them. Lord, be at work in the service tonight. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
So according to my schedule, you get to be seated for one short chorus, and then you're supposed to stand again. I'm going to let you stay seated for both. That will make me your favorite song leader. So we're going to sing the chorus first. People Need the Lord, and then we'll follow that with Set My Soul Afire, Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we Let my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let thy voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this hour and day. I will be a witness. Fill me with thy power. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving.
This evening for our missionary highlights, we're going to focus on prayer needs. This morning we talked about praises. And so our first missionaries are Terry and Kay Jones, and they are BIMI directors for Central America and Mexico. And their prayer needs are Kay's opportunities. They are here in Chattanooga, and she volunteers out at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission teaching ladies chapel services. And they're asking prayer and for salvation for Sage, Michael, and Sam. They're also asking for open doors of opportunity, as we talked about this morning, to share the good news with those around them, and of course with all the other missionaries that they work with down in Central America and Mexico. Our second missionary family are the Sidlers, BIMI missionaries to the Dominican Republic. And their prayer needs are that they are praying that the Lord would provide $10,000 to help pay for costs for some to go to camp. It's about $55 per person, and the Lord has provided and blessed in the past. Last year alone, they had 319 attend, 35 were saved, 25 were called to serve the Lord in ministry. So it's a really great camp, and the Lord is using that ministry. So just praying that the Lord would bring that $10,000 in so the people that can't afford to go to camp can go to camp. And then lastly, they're asking that he would bless, of course, camp again this year. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly gracious Father, Lord, we just thank you that of all these requests and so many more that are even unmentioned at this time, Lord, you already know them, that you have already addressed them, and Lord, that you have answered them in one way or the other. And we all know that whatever you decide, Lord, it is good, because it's a gift from you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for these requests they're asking for the Joneses, Lord. As Kay teaches at the rescue mission, Lord, I pray many ladies' lives would be touched by the gospel. Lord, that her preparation would yield valuable fruit of salvation as she preaches to each lady. I pray even now for the next time that she preaches or that she teaches that you would just fill her heart with the words that need to be said, and I pray that many ladies' hearts would be furrowed in preparation for the gospel to be given. And Lord, as they have asked and made mention, they're asking for those open doors, not only for what they're doing here in the Chattanooga area, but also down with the missionaries that they are privileged to work with in Central America and Mexico. And I just pray for those ministries as well, Lord. I pray the harvest is ripe, Lord. And I pray that as your laborers, you would yield much fruit through their ministries. And then lastly, Lord, we do pray for the Siddlers. We pray that you would just be preparing hearts to go to camp. And Lord, all the cattle on 1,000 hills are yours, and the funds to send these people to camp, Lord, are yours as well. I pray you would place it on people's hearts, Lord, to give to that ministry, that many would come to the camp, that would be saved, that would give their lives to ministry, and Lord, that they would just hear the gospel and that fruit would be planted. We just thank you for their willingness, their devotion to you, and Lord, we just ask your blessing on their ministries. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. What a wonderful reminder that our God indeed watches over us. We're going to hear some mission trip testimonies tonight, some presentations. And you may ask, why? Why do we need mission trip presentation? Well, hopefully you've been praying for these folks, and hopefully your heart resonates with what God is doing in other places. And also it's biblical. Paul, when he takes his first missionary journey, what does he do when it's done? Does anybody know what he does in the book of Acts? He comes back and he gives a report to the church, because who sends out missionaries? Who authorizes, in a sense, missions work? It's the local church. God has used the local church. Today we partner with agencies, and that's wonderful. But the local church is God's instrument in world missions. It's not the mission board. It's not even just the missionary. God, through his local church, raises up, equips, calls, and then the local church sends out. And so we get to be a part of that. This is not just some free hanging arm, you know, loose appendage that's out there doing its own thing. These are members of local churches that God uses to do his work. And then the biblical pattern is, come back and tell. We'll tell why. Tell what God has done so the church can rejoice and so it can be instructive to others. And so even as we hear, it should be a challenge, should resonate with your heart to rejoice in what God is doing around the world. So first of all, we're going to hear tonight from some folks who went with IBJM to New York City.
So, in the days leading up to this New York City missions trip, I got really nervous, just of all the unknown. The people there, they don't have the best reputation. I didn't think I would really enjoy the city, especially from here, around here where I'm from. I thought I would be just too busy, and I was just nervous about that. I was also extremely nervous about witnessing, especially to the Jewish people, because they're not particularly easy to witness to. While it was a new experience, God really gave me peace through his word. All throughout the week, I was reminded of Genesis 12:3, in which God talks to Abraham and talks about Israel. And it says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." This verse really encouraged me to be a blessing and a witness to the Jewish people. Especially with all that has been going on since October 7th. And this really just made me want to get the word out to everyone. Everyone that I came across, I wanted to talk to them about the gospel. So what we did is we had two churches that we were working with, one in Queens, New York, and one in Long Beach. So we would invite people out to a Thank God for Israel day. We would also have book tables at certain busy sections of the areas, and we'd also send some people door to door. So, I mean, a typical day would look like getting up at, you know, about 7 or so, doing some devotions, having breakfast at the hotel there, and then loading up soon after that, and then go and have a group devotions and prayer at normally a local park there where we stayed. We would split into different groups, sometimes bigger groups, sometimes groups of like 2 or 3. And we would go, and some would man the book table, some would walk up and down streets and witness to people, invite them to the service that we're having. And others would just go door to door knocking, or as in the case of Long Beach, we would often, just to get the word out, we would hang the flyers on the doors there. And then we would do that until about 4 or 5. We would come back to our host's house and have a wonderful dinner. And then we would have testimonies, and we would have prayer requests and have more prayer about thanking God about what he had done for that day, and asking him to help those that had heard the gospel but hadn't really responded. One of those that really stuck out to me, probably stuck the most out, to me throughout the whole entire week was when Brother Blanton and I were, it was a Wednesday, and we were sent out to man a book table at this local park. And I came across a guy that was sitting down there at the bench, and I felt that like the Holy Spirit was leading me just to just start talking to him. So I started talking to him, a little bit of small talk and stuff. He had a Pittsburgh Pirates ball cap on, and I like the Pittsburgh Pirates, so I got talking about them. And then I started turning the conversation more towards spiritual things. And it turns out that he really was, he was a non-practicing Jewish person, from what I had gathered from him. And he thought different things. He thought, like, evolution had some good explanations for certain things. But then again, evolution, then he admitted to me that evolution really couldn't explain some of the biggest things. This opened the door for me to present the gospel to him. And there are many interruptions along the way. But I tried to keep on pointing him to Jesus Christ in the gospel, what the gospel said. So both Brother Brad and I were able to talk to him throughout the rest of the day, really, because he just hung around the table pretty much for the rest of the day. And while he was close to salvation, he didn't accept Christ as his Savior. And it is a person that we are continuing to pray for. And truly, we saw the Spirit of God really work in his life. So, in closing, what God did for me, I saw God work in ways that I never seen him work before. I never thought I would see him work before. I also, in ways that I really had only heard of in stories. This really brought me so much closer to him. Because what he had shown me that week, and what he enabled me to do, was beyond what I could have imagined or beyond what I could have done. And I thank God for using me and using all the other people that were on that trip to get the word out. We saw several souls saved, and we saw very good contacts there. And I thank you all for your prayers and your support that you have given me. We all need the prayer so much, and I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to pray or to talk to me or just whatever it was, is greatly appreciated. This trip has really changed me to want to witness to other people. And that is only because of what God has done in my life. So thank you all again.
You can see our team picture up there. We had between 13 and 20 or more people on this team, depending on who was there for the particular day. So it was just a great blessing. And there's nothing, and the variety of personalities that were on this team were amazing. I told people, I said, we had a lot of potential for conflict, but there's nothing more unifying, I don't think, than trying to reach souls for the Lord. It really is a unifying thing. And James mentioned the testimony times and all. Those were just sweet times. And it was fun because we were spread out in different places, we didn't always know what was going on with other people. And we might be having a difficult time, but somebody else could be leading someone to the Lord. We did have so many answers to prayer. I can't tell you how many times I looked at team members and said, you know, I really believe somebody's praying for us right now. I was honestly, this was my fifth ministry trip with IBJM to New York City. I was nervous this time, I have to admit, because of all that's going on with the anti-Semitism and what we've seen on college campuses, some of those in New York City. But almost without exception, it was a positive response. James and I were at one table, and we'll have a picture of that. You can see we had another gentleman that we were serving with. And at this table, we had, of course, these smaller Israeli flags on the table, but John Gibson pinned a full-size Israeli flag to the front of our table. And I thought, okay, here it goes. This is going to be interesting. During the whole time we were there, I mean, this was a busy street and just a lot of people going back and forth in cars and walking. And we had one that I remember, we had one obviously negative response. Some guys rolled down a window, rolled by really slow and cursed and said really bad things about Israel. But other than that, it was, these flags were like a magnet. They just drew people to the table, which was just a real blessing. And one of our guys who's actually doing an internship, his name's Antonio, he's doing an internship up there at All Nations Baptist Church, and he was saved out of a Jewish, Orthodox Jewish neighborhood in New York City. He got confronted by a lady. This was the other main negative thing that happened. He got confronted by a lady who told him she thought he needed to die. And he said later, he said, you know, that was so sad. This lady was just letting me have it. And he said, she knows nothing about me. The only thing she knows about me is that I'm Jewish. And because of that, she thinks I need to die. So we did see some negativity. But as I mentioned, mostly it was a positive response. Here's a photo of Josh, the one that James went over and started up the conversation with. And what a blessing to see how James was just surrendered to the Lord and letting the Lord use him and really initiated this conversation with Josh. Josh is a very needy fellow. He is a Jewish man, and he is has a lot of physical problems. I wish you'd pray for him. His last name is Friend, so it's easy to remember Josh Friend, but he was in such pain sometimes when we were talking to him that he would literally just bend over almost with his head on his knees and cry in pain. He's got some surgery coming up in a couple of weeks, or maybe probably just a week from now, and it could be very serious. So I wish you would pray for Josh's salvation. We did have three Thank God for Israel services, and that was such a blessing. We had visitors, I think, at each one. We had unsaved Jewish people at least two of those. I want to tell you a quick story about Amit, or Amit, as he's called. And this is a young man that came up to our table. And this was not at our table. This was with Sam Wilson's table. And Sam offered him a Bible. And he said, no, I've already gotten a Bible from you. And he said, a few years ago, I came by the table, and you guys gave me a Bible. And he said, I went home, took it home, and started reading it and became a believer. He said, then I moved to D.C. where I got involved with a Bible-believing church. I got baptized, and they started discipling me. And he said, I just came by to say thank you. Of course, Sam Wilson was ready to sign him up to be an IBJM missionary. But, y'all, 2 days after we got back, Amit was out with John Gibson and the two interns witnessing to Orthodox Jewish people on the streets of New York City. So thank the Lord for that. As I mentioned, at these services, we had unsaved Jewish people. In the first service at All Nations Baptist Church, which started at 9:15, we had an unsaved Jewish man. He's an optometrist, an eye surgeon in New York City. It's a long story, but my sister's been reaching out to him for about 2 or 3 years, long distance from Wisconsin, because she and her husband met this doctor and his wife, and he was at the 9:15 service. And he was going around greeting everybody. You would have thought he was the pastor of the church. It was just really neat. And I said, you know, it was so cool to be sitting on the next to him during the service as he was hearing the gospel preached from the Old Testament, just a beautiful message. And I said, it's pretty cool to be sitting next to an eye surgeon and see the verse come up as big as life, Zechariah 2:8, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. And this man heard the gospel. He also won John Gibson's artwork. They have a drawing, and everybody can put in their name for this artwork that John Gibson does, and he did this beautiful artwork. There, Amit is holding the card that we gave out, which was another beautiful piece of artwork by John. But the doctor won it in the drawing, so that was really cool and provided another opportunity for John Gibson to be able to meet with him. Then the last photo I'd like to show you is of a girl named Haya. She's on the left. Haya got one of these cards on her door in Long Beach. Of course, the Jewish part of it attracted her. She is an Israeli-born Jewish lady. And she said, wow, I thought this was really cool. Then I flipped it over, and she said, I read this description of why this church is having a Thank God for Israel service. And she said, I just wept. She said, I couldn't believe that a church would do this. And she said, I just said, I've got to go to this church. Her friends tried to persuade her to go to the Jewish parade that was taking place that same afternoon. And she said, no, you need to come with me. Well, she came alone to that 2:30 service and stayed afterward for the refreshments. And Joy Gibson and the other girl on our team, Maddie Krause, had the opportunity to witness to Haya for about an hour and a half. She took home a New Testament and agreed to meet with Joy Gibson again. So thank the Lord for what he's doing. And by the way, IBJM is another big step closer to being able to purchase a global outreach ministry center in New York City. We're hoping that'll be something in the future that can really cut our hotel cost for the trip and allow us to have more groups more often. So maybe before too long, we can have a Stanley Heights group go up.
Thank you, James and Brother Blanton. Really appreciate that. Excited to hear what God is doing and answers to prayer. Wonderful to hear. Well, I'm going to try to breeze through. I only have 114 pictures. That's all I have. You know, Brother Walton, he thought that merely letting you sit for another song would win you over. I'm going to let you sit for an entire 114 pictures. So think of how much I should win you over. Think of how long you can rest. We'll try to breeze through them here. Our Brazil trip, there's our team in the airport ready to go. You notice we all have very distinctive green shirts on. Those may come up later in the in our time together. Decided to work here. Okay, there we go. Just different pictures. This is our trip from Chattanooga to Chicago. The picture on your right there, it looks like someone is trying to draw a house. That green line is actually the line of our route from Chattanooga to Chicago. Folks, that's not the way you're supposed to try to fly to Chicago. It's supposed to be a straight line, okay? But we flew what should have been less than 2 hours. It was a 3.5 hour flight. And consequently, when we got there, if you see there, it says 9:50 flight departing. If you look in the bottom right-hand corner, you'll barely be able to see it. It says 9:54. We missed our flight by 4 minutes that we should have had plenty of time to catch. So we didn't make it on our flight Sunday night that we were hoping to catch to Brazil. So instead, we got to crash a little in the airport in Chicago. Eventually, we got rebooked. We were able to rebook by groups. So we weren't able to go on our original flight plan, but Brother Brent and his group, they got to go and fly to Panama. They were trying to take a mission trip to Brazil, and instead they got to go to Panama, and they beat us there. They made it Tuesday in the early wee hours of the morning. They made it to Brazil, having left Sunday night. And then the rest of us, there they are, waiting for their plane. The rest of us, we're in Dallas waiting for our plane, which was supposed to leave at 7 o'clock on Monday evening, and then it didn't leave until midnight on Monday evening. But eventually, by Tuesday evening, having left Sunday night to try to make it to Brazil, by Tuesday evening, we were all in Brazil, and we thanked the Lord for safety, and we'll talk about luggage later. But we made it there,
and we're very thankful. This is a picture of the main building over there at the Seminario Batista Regular do Sul, which is the regular Baptist seminary of the south. There where my parents work, and we're able to be a part of their work there. This is us getting there. We're together, ate dinner together for the first time. And we were able to celebrate two birthdays 2 days late, that Lily and my wife both had their birthday while we were traveling. So thankful that we're able to do that. The next day, it was a little tentative as to what was going to happen. We were supposed to be going to a school to present a silent drama in the school. It's a drama that portrays the gospel. You're going to get to see that a little bit later. But we were going to go and do that, and we weren't sure the night before whether or not it was actually going to work. But we loaded up and we went. And we went out about 45 minutes from where we were staying, out to a place called Campina Grande do Sul, which means large field of the south, literally. And there's some large fields out there, but it's an area on the edge of town. It's very beautiful and mountainous. You'll be able to see some pictures of mountains, if I can get the clicker to work. If it doesn't, there we go. Let's see. So just beautiful mountainous area. And that's the area where they're going to plant a church. They have property on the frontage road there on the left, kind of before that pack of trees that you see there. The church has property. Right now, the church is meeting in a house. And down from the church, there are steep downhills everywhere you go. It was very hilly. We were able to go down to the bottom of the hill and make it to this school. And this school has numbers of students who live in the neighborhood where my parents are planning this church. We were able to present in 18 different classrooms in this public school, both in the morning and in the afternoon. They use the school for one shift in the morning, and then those students leave, and in the afternoon, more students come back. And we were able to be at their break time. We were able to interact with these students. It was really neat to see them all gathering around, wanting to take pictures with Americans. Some of us were more popular than others, but they got excited to see the Americans. They got excited about coins. They were having a great time just interacting. We were able to do the silent drama in just about every classroom. And afterwards, my dad was able to give an explanation of the gospel, which is portrayed through silent drama, which you'll see a little later. There we are eating, enjoying some good food. And that night, just as a punishment, we made everybody go to the Brazilian steakhouse to suffer for Jesus. And it was very difficult, I will say. I'm glad you all were praying for us. It was really hard to eat all of that meat. But we enjoyed our time there. We ate very well. We were well taken care of the week while we were there. You'll have to ask the team about how they enjoyed the food, but it was very good. We also came to work, and so we did some practical manual labor. There we are outside, taking down some weeds that have grown up, clearing up some area out in front of the Bible college there. There was also a crew washing windows. So there was work to be done in all different directions. And enjoyed eating together with the students. You'll see there our team mixed together with some of the Bible college students there. Really enjoyed the time of fellowship. They had a great time getting to know each other. It was a blessing to be able to get to interact with them. We also did some work running some wiring from one side of campus to the other. And we did some work sanding and preparing some apartments there to be able to be used, to be rented out. Again, apartments that belong to the Bible college there. And then they not just all work, they were able to play, enjoy some time playing with new friends, with the Bible college students there. The guys played, the girls played, and then we had even a game night together with them. This is the guys all gathered together after having played and enjoyed spending time together. The fellowship was really a blessing. The school is small. They have under 20 students, so our team was able to come and really present an opportunity for them to have fellowship and some encouragement. And a number of the younger guys were not that far in age from some of our guys, and so I think the time together was really an encouragement to them. Here's the ladies with some of the girl students. And we did, on Thursday night, we did a game night for the seminary students, a chance to interact with them and give them an enjoyable time. I think they really appreciated that. And then Friday morning, we were able to be a part of their chapel. We presented the silent drama, and then you'll see pictures there. Two of our young men, Joel and William, presented a testimony as well, an opportunity for the students to get to know them and what God's doing in their lives. And then there was more work to be done. So we, even the ladies got into it. They were out there, wouldn't let the men show them up. They got out and apparently the men weren't working hard enough in some cases. I don't know. But Then we also, Friday afternoon, as a way to have fun and also to have outreach, we went out to a basketball court nearby. Some of the students had been talking smack all week against our guys about beating them in soccer, and so they challenged them to basketball. So we're able to go and play basketball, but not just that. We're able to try to incorporate some of the guys there in the community, guys who are playing at the court, and try to make friends with them. And while we would be on the court playing, we'd have some of the guys on the court, some of the guys on the side. The Bible College students were there sharing the gospel, trying to get to know these guys, getting their phone numbers, getting contacts. Several of them were able to have serious gospel conversations with some of these guys who were there kind of in awe of these Americans who'd come to play basketball with them. So it was a neat opportunity even there. We had a wonderful time being able to do that together with them, giving the seminary students further contacts for follow-up. The ladies were able to go out and pass out some invitations and also go get ice cream with some of the girl students. While the guys were out doing that, they were suffering for Jesus, eating ice cream. But they enjoyed that time together. This is one thing we did Friday night. We went into the homes. We tried to have every group be in a home with a Brazilian family, and so that they could kind of experience their life, maybe a meal together with them, be in their home, really get a genuine cultural experience. So this is a couple of the different groups with their hosts, all Brazilians who were able to have them, and they had a translator in each group. They were able to spend time together, getting to know their hosts, and enjoying that fellowship. So that was a blessing as well. There's another family host as well. On Saturday morning, we were able to go and be part of a Bible club at a church across town. This is a sister church, and they were having Saturday morning Bible club. For them, it was cold. It didn't seem that cold to us, but their numbers were down because of the cold, but we were able to present the silent drama there. And then I did my version of five facts about my everlasting life, teaching them the gospel through hand motions. That was a lot of fun. And then in the afternoon, we had some free time. You get to see the guys playing there. We attempted to teach baseball to the Brazilians. I'm not sure if they totally enjoyed it as much as we did. Then we went out in the afternoon and canvassed again in the new neighborhood. So there was two places we were ministering. One at the Bible College there, the campus where my parents live and work, and they teach the Bible students throughout the week. But on the weekends, my parents are out working in this neighborhood. You saw that stretch of land where they're going to purchase, they're going to build. So we're out there in that neighborhood. We're able to be canvassing. It's a beautiful area. If you just look up, you see mountain ranges everywhere. It's just beautiful. It's somewhat undeveloped still. It's still kind of rustic, you could say. But we're able to go and walk up and down these big steep hills and try to avoid the big dogs that seemed like they were going to eat us. But we're able to go, brought some of the students with us as well. We're able to go pass out invitations to invite people to come to the church on Sunday. So behind us there, where you see that white gate, that's the house. It's called Igreja Batista do Alto, Heights Baptist Church, that they have rented just a tiny little house for now, starting to have a service there, one service a week, and they have six people who pretty regularly attend, and so we're out trying to invite more people in the neighborhood. This is our team that was out there inviting people to be with us on Sunday. This was just a little bit of the neighborhood we were out inviting in. Then that afternoon, again, we were able to spend more time with the students, and that night, we were invited to another church crosstown to once again do our silent drama. We were the most popular thing in town, I think, but we were able to be there at a youth meeting and share the drama there and enjoy time of fellowship. This one guy preached. I'm not sure where he came from, but they had this one guy preaching as well. And then we were able to have a time of fellowship with some of their teenagers afterwards, play some games, get to know them a little, so we enjoyed that. Afterwards, we got to see the Brazilian version of a hot dog. I don't know what is fit about a hot dog, but we got to experience the Brazilian version of hot dogs, and it is quite different from what we are accustomed to here. So you got to see all different kinds of things. They ate it, and I hope they enjoyed it. If they didn't, they didn't tell me. Sunday morning, we're able to be, back up one there. This is in just like a little living room size room of the house that's being rented. This is where they're holding their Sunday morning service. That's Alex. He's a graduate of the Bible College and working with the team that's planning this church out there in that neighborhood. And then we're able to do the silent drama there for them. This is the kids in Sunday school, their class. And then this is a family from Venezuela that's been attending, this lady and her three kids. So thankful for opportunity to meet them and see what God is doing there. Afternoon, the guys enjoyed going out and getting ice cream again. You'll notice some ever-present green shirts. There were some guys whose luggage didn't make it. You might see a green shirt up here later. You know, just this is a representation. Since they didn't have their luggage, they had to kind of cycle through what they had. So if you didn't read about that on Facebook, you may want to ask some certain Weitzels, how that experience was for them without their luggage. But Sunday night, we were able to be in another church again, Crosstown. Once again, we had the silent drama and was able to preach there. This is our last team meeting together there. William getting ready to share with the group. And then Monday, we went out and were able to do some sightseeing at some of the botanical gardens there in Curitiba. We were also able to ride on the top of a tour bus. Get to ride on top, rode through the city. It's quite interesting. It was closer to the power lines than any of our team had ever been before, I think. Good practice for William, being an electrician. But we also ran into a protest. It was really interesting. Slowed up our trip by about half an hour, 40 minutes. Got to see Brazilians protesting. This is the Communist Party, the PT, protesting that everything should be free, nothing, no education should be privatized, everything should be controlled and funded by the government. They were making a big stink. All the teachers are on strike because they don't want any education to be privatized. So we got to see a little bit even of the political scene in Brazil. There's Joel sharing a challenge with our team. And then one final morning, this is Tuesday morning before they left, the team went out and worked a little more trying to get the project done, trying to have added a little bit more to clean off the front area. And the ladies were inside working and cleaning as well. And then they got to play, enjoy a little bit of time with the team, with the students before we left as well. So thankful for the opportunities we had. I'm going to call the team up here. We're going to go ahead and we're going to dispense with the song we're going to sing for the sake of time. We're just going to go straight into our silent drama. So team, if you want to just come up here, we're going to get up here and we're going to go straight into that silent drama, and then we'll have time for some testimonies after that. They're going to come up here, and this is going to be no words since they don't speak Portuguese. And you don't want them to do the drama for you in Portuguese anyway. But this is going to be a drama presenting from creation all the way to the fall. Then after the fall, showing Christ coming, how Christ is rejected, and then the opportunity Christ gives to each one to accept or reject him. Watch it. See if you can catch some of the things as they present the silent drama for you here tonight.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you, team. You can go ahead and return to your seat at this time if you're not staying up here for testimonies. Thank you, team. You can see there the portrayal from creation to the fall to Christ coming, being rejected. And then at the end there, you see Christ offering, inviting. You see the things just pictured there that hold people back, friends, things of the world. And yet you saw there that people didn't go all at once to Christ. They went how? They went one by one. Because that is how we come to Christ, right? You have to choose, do I want my way? Do I want my sin? Do I want Christ? And so we're able to, after every time we did that, have a brief wrap-up explaining the gospel in a little more detail than I just did, but being able to present, here's what Christ has done, and then making the plea, you know, what will you do with Christ? Have you received him? Have you been willing to say no to your own way? Have you been willing to forsake your sin, to repent and turn to Christ? And so we're able to present that numerous times across numerous days. Thankful for the opportunity. I've asked several of the team now. They're just going to present brief testimonies about what God did in their lives during this trip.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to all of you who prayed and gave financially for us to be able to go on this trip. I know many of you were praying specifically for me because we weren't sure I was going to make it. But God was faithful, and I'm not sure if I knew what our trip was going to start off like if I would have gone. But God was faithful and he sustained me. It was only by his grace that I was able to get through those 36 hours of travel, no sleep, you know, being uncomfortable, finding luggage and all the airport switches that we had. But, you know, just the message there is just, you know, God will sustain you. If this is where God wants you and this is what he's calling you to do, he will sustain you through it. So I was so thankful to be able to go. One of the takeaways I had from this trip very briefly was I had the privilege of riding in Miss Jan's car, Jan Alexander, Ed's mom, and just listening to her testimony and her hearing like all the challenges that they faced, whether it was financial, whether it was just a change in their mission, location, illnesses and health challenges. I'm not sure very many of us would have stayed in another country. We would have come back to the United States, thrown in the towel, and called it quits. But just through her testimony and, you know, everything that she was talking about in the car, it was clear that God was faithful to them, and he is continuing to be faithful to them. And something that stuck out to me that she said was, we're just going to keep going until God tells us to stop. And they are. They are just continuing their service faithfully. And that was such a blessing to be able to see and hear about in their testimony. And then the other thing that was such an encouragement to me was the last church we were in, one of the ladies, she was actually the pastor's wife, came up to us and said, I'm so thankful that you sang that song, which was always the same that we sang on this trip. And she said, you know, God is always the same. And that stuck out to me, that it doesn't matter where we are, the language we speak, the cultural differences, God is always the same. And we are all here serving God across the globe and doing what he has called us to do. And that just was an encouragement to me to see the faithfulness of the people there and their excitement for the gospel. And it was a blessing. Thank you.
I just want to reiterate a little bit of what Catherine said about our gratitude to you as a church family for the opportunity that we had to go, and for those of you who gave and those of you who prayed for us. We needed it in a lot of different ways. It was really an incredible trip. The travel issues we had are well chronicled, but I just want to say how impressed I was with our teenagers, and thank the Lord for that, and how they handled that adversity really well. They just went along with whatever was happening, and I was very proud of them, and how the Lord's working in their lives, and how they connected with the students at the seminary, and how they became quick friends and a help to them, and even at the school that we worked at. Just as Brother Adair told us, our young men were very, very popular with the girls there at the school during the break time. And I'll let you choose by the redness of the faces who was the most popular. But you can talk to them afterwards on that. But it was great to be able to see them get involved in the ministry, giving devotions and helping out and having a great spirit, even when, you know, several came down with sickness for a couple of days, but just to power through that. Some of the impressions that I'll leave with were just the people that we're able to meet. We were able to be a part of three church services, and just the opportunity to sit in a congregation and sing hymns with people in a language that I didn't understand. Some of it I knew the tune, I knew what we were singing. Some of it I didn't, but it was just a wonderful feeling to be around people who, half a world away, who love the Lord like I do, and who wanted to serve Him and wanted to please Him. And it was an amazing opportunity to see that and to experience that, to worship with them, to visit the family that we had dinner with, and even going to the school and 18 different classrooms with all these young children, probably, I don't know, fourth grade up to probably seniors, just to see all those faces of people who need the gospel. I don't know that a single one of them knows Jesus. Maybe possibly some do, but many do not. But they were all given an opportunity with this just simple drama and an explanation afterwards. And just to see their eyes and to watch them as they, even though I couldn't understand how they were responding and what they were saying, but to know that they needed Christ, and we were able to present that. And just the challenge for me is to see those around me in the same way that I see people in a mission field. When I'm on the mission field, I'm looking at people in a different way than I probably do, shameful to say, on a regular basis in my day-to-day life, and that the Lord would just give me that vision for other people.
Well, Brazil was awesome. I loved it. I wish I could have stayed a little longer. It didn't all go quite to plan, as you've heard a couple times now, but nothing like a good adventure. I think one of the coolest things, though, and the things that most touched me while in Brazil, was to see the work and the hearts of the seminary students. As most of you know now, we didn't have our luggage when we first got there, but the students there were very quick to offer shoes, clothing, everything we needed to at least work. So that was great. There were a few times, though, that we handed out literature and stuff like that. And it was encouraging to see the students go out of their way, just talk to someone about Jesus. One time when we were out doing this, one of the students told me something that one of the other students had told him, and that was, if we don't share the gospel with them, someone else will, and the next gospel they hear could be a false one, so we need to share the gospel. This was a big challenge to me. It made me think what else I could be doing to share the gospel, not just in Brazil, but also here, where it's a little easier to communicate. Another thing I noticed about the students was not just that they went out of their way to tell people about Jesus, but also that they were excited about it. And seeing them excited made me more excited. And not only that, just knowing that what we have to share, the gospel, is exciting. So we should be sharing it. The students there were a great encouragement to me. And I think it's very cool to think that I have friends in another country sharing the same gospel I can hear. That's an encouragement to me. Thank you all for supporting us on this trip, and for all your prayers while we were gone. Thank you.
So I'm thankful for getting the opportunity to go on this trip. First off, I would like to say thanks to everyone who supported us, whether it be by prayer, which they were needed, or whether it be just by, you know, hey, what can I do for you for the trip? Not necessarily financially, but prayer or financially or whatever. This trip was really eye-opening. I was able to see the need for Christ among the Brazilian people. You would go out and you could just tell, like, they were longing for something, they were looking for something. And it was sad because the first thing that they were shown, with Catholicism and spiritualism being a thing there, they they would accept the first thing they heard, because they were looking for anything, something that would fill the God-sized hole that they thought, like, it would be the right religion. And it was sad because a lot of the seminary students would keep telling us they're looking for something, And if we don't present the right, if they don't get presented with the right thing first, they're going to accept the wrong thing. I was really encouraged by the seminary students because their desire for witness, what I call a fire for God, you could tell they had joy that only Christ could give. One of the students, after I gave my testimony, told me his testimony. And he told me at a young age, he lost his dad because he killed himself at 6 years old. And he lost his mom because he accepted Christianity. And with a smile on his face, he said, "But I have everything because I have Christ." And to me, I was like, we are very fortunate in America because we don't realize how fortunate we are compared to other people. Because just because he had all for Christ, he had everything he needed. I could see God's hand in every circumstance, whether it be flights, you know, that got delayed, and I was like, why is this happening? Or if it be luggage that wasn't there, and I was like, oh, this is not right. I want it to be on schedule. I'm tired. But God had me there for a reason. He was testing me with my patience. One second. I was glad to see that God is the same God no matter where we go. Even though I was on the other side of the world, God is still the same God. We serve the same powerful and faithful God. And lastly, I would like to say thanks for this church for giving me the opportunity to go on this trip. And thank you.
We got called the cartoon family because we never changed our clothes from day to day. But that wasn't true. We changed every other day. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Everybody's talking about the good points. For me, the low point of the trip was about 4 o'clock in the morning over the Amazon. If you're taller or bigger, you know the airplane seats aren't designed for us. So I'm a bit of a bobblehead through turbulence. I haven't slept since Sunday morning for more than about 3 hours. And pastor had preached Sunday morning on Joseph, you know, 13 years from being thrown into the pit until he gets elevated and things get made right with his brothers. And so I feel sorry for myself. If you didn't know with the whole thing that's in the flight, Pastor Ed's group and my boys and I, we were given a complimentary motel ticket vouchers with a complimentary lift. And the guy that punched the motel in for me and Jill and Jaden punched the wrong address in. So instead of going 3 blocks this way to the Renaissance Motel, we went about 10 blocks this way to the who knows what drug part of Chicago. And so that was a bit of a low point. We get ready to have our breakfast at the 5-star motel restaurant. Oh, it's Memorial Day. They don't open until 7. We've got to be leaving at 6:30. So there was a lot of low points up through, get my phone back on here. And then you've all heard it, you know, at Dallas we got ready to get on. I guess they go alphabetically, with Alexander's getting their seats. We're sitting there watching the airplane. You know, this is the plane we're going to leave in about 4 or 5 hours, and they're, in my opinion, doing extra work. And pretty soon they announce we're going to not board because it's too hot on the airplane. Uh-oh. About another hour later, they announce we have to switch airplanes. And the airplane they announced that they were going to be switching to, that holds about 50 people less than that plane does. It's a different dash model of it. Uh-oh. And so sure enough, they start, if you would like a complimentary voucher for $1,200, you can get bumped. And I think one of the boys said, are we going to do that, Dad? I'm like, no, we're going on a missions trip. You know, we're going on a missions trip. And unfortunately, they had the long line of getting bumped, and they weren't going, as I thought they should, first in line to get on the flight. And literally twice, we're closing this flight. And the boys and I start walking over. Oh, hang on. So we got back in line. And the second time they said, that's it. And they had, you remember the fellow, the bald guy. He was a real good in-charge guy. And when he told you to do something, everybody did it. And that's it. We're closing the flight. This is the second time. This plane is leaving for Brazil. I'm like, oh, man. And we started to sit down. And I heard him say, we've got three seats for Weitzel. Man, I jumped up. And we literally ran down the boarding gate. And when we got on the plane, they were backing it out. We didn't have our seats yet. We didn't know where we're sitting. Jill said my eyes were twitching and my hands were shaking, literally like the tornado we'd gone through a couple years ago. And we got seated, and then it's the low point. And that was really, for me, that was the worst part. And then, like I said, the next morning we got out and we went to that school, and probably about 400 people that we got to witness to do the play for. And to see the look on their faces when you could tell who knew what was going on, whether they were saved or not, they got it. They understood. And that was just definitely a high point. Let me go back to my notes real quick. But that was definitely the best part for me, was watching the interaction of the students there at the school. And as the kids mentioned, getting to spend time with these seminary students. The teens, they found out these are normal people like us. As Joel mentioned, Frank, his dad's dead. His mom has shunned him because he wants to be a pastor. But yet he has the joy of the Lord. The fellow that kept jumping in front of all the pictures that were, you know, photobombing, that's Frank, great attitude. And so the takeaway for me was God's will. Was it God's will for me to go? Yes. At times we didn't know if it was God's will for us to get there. Somewhere along the line, I think it was Jaden asked, if we have any more trouble, are we just going back to Chattanooga? And I'm like, well, I don't know. But God's will was for us to go there and share. And probably the low point for your dad, I think, was Sunday morning after the service. He stood there and he goes, nobody we witnessed to yesterday came. And we were handing out tracts and stuff. But at the same time, our job is just to plant or water, and then God gives the increase.
I have a really nice long sermon I'm going to preach to you. Not tonight. David, if you would just put up the final picture of that little set of 10 that I had there. I just want to just say one thing here and conclude the service. We showed this picture earlier, but I just wanted to talk about why missions? What about missions? What's my part? Why do we even go and do this? How do I participate? Here's something, just a thought on missions, and Mr. Weitzel just hit it, about planting and watering and God giving the increase. There's three young men there in the picture, and I labeled them by color so you can see who I'm talking about. The young man in the orange shirt, who also has an orange ring around his face there, that's Felipe. He was one of the older students, and he's one of the students there. He's in his third year, I believe. Enjoyed getting to know Felipe. But Felipe is a product of two Christian parents. He's the son of a pastor, a pastor's wife. Both of his parents, Sijne and Elizani, were reached through my parents' ministry at New Life Baptist Church. They were there until 1997. So Felipe has grown up in a pastor's home, in a Christian home, as a result of New Life Baptist Church that was planted by my parents in the early and mid-90s. And so Felipe has surrendered his life to the Lord, and he is preparing to be a pastor. And it was just thrilling to get to see God's work in Felipe's life as now a second and even third generation Christian. I believe his grandmother is a Christian now. So his chance to grow up in a Christian home, which neither of his parents had, and him now saying, I want to serve God. And that's Felipe in the orange, and the orange ring around his face there. Moving to the left there, the young man in the red and blue shirt with the red ring around his face. This is Lucas. And Lucas also has grown up in a pastor's home. Lucas has also known the gospel since an early age. And his dad, Alexandre, was reached through my parents' work also at that same church, New Life Baptist Church in Sorocaba in the mid and to late 90s. His dad was called to preach and then went off to the Bible college where my parents now serve. The other young man, his parents also went off to that Bible college. So these are both second generation students of that Bible college who've been raised in the ministry, and they say, I want to serve the Lord. And Lucas has had some challenges, some obstacles to face, to get over, but he was also a real friend to some of our young people and really came alongside, acted as an interpreter. He wants to serve God. This is his first year. He's finishing up his first semester there at the Bible college. Pray for him and that God will use him, continue to grow him there. And then the third one there in the front, I think this is really neat. This is Frank that Mr. Weitzel was mentioning. I think this is really cool to me personally because this is the product of missions as well. The next church that my parents founded was Calvary Baptist in Sorocaba, crosstown. I was there as a teenager in the late 90s until I went off to school. And Frank did not go to Calvary Baptist Church. Frank was not saved at Calvary Baptist Church. He did not grow up in a Christian home. Frank grew up in, it's hard to describe the slum, but what they did in Sorocaba, they took the worst slums, they took the worst people in there, the biggest problem causers, the biggest troublemakers, they rounded them all up and they moved them about 15 miles out of town They took a plot of land and they said, hey, this is going to be yours. Okay, so they think of like a little, a slight step above a homeless encampment. They took and did that on the edge of the city. And so Frank grew up in the Abitetu, something way out on the edge of town where all the bad guys went, because then they would at least be out of the city. They'd kick them out of the worst slums. The police said, if you come back here, you're done. So they took all the worst people and basically made the wild, wild west about 10, 15 miles out of town. So Frank grew up in that setting. That's the guy in the front there with the green and the blue shirt there. At that church where I was at, Calvario, young man that I grew up with, Alexandre, God gave him a burden to reach young people. And he managed to secure a government funded position to be at a school that they set up there in the Abitetu, in this worst slum of slums. And as he was working with these kids as their teacher, desired to teach them the gospel, he said, I need to start a Bible club. And so he started a Bible club with a bunch of the kids. And I'm going to see if I can jump back to these. David, could you just back forward to the first of my pictures there? I'll be just a minute here, folks. Just hang with me. I want to develop this story for you. So Alexandre, there in the blue ring, Alexandre, my friend, he said, you know what we need to do? We need to start a Bible club. There's nothing out here for these kids. This is a slum. The Catholics are doing a little something. There's another cult doing a little something, but nobody's doing anything for these kids. And so with his students, he said, hey, I'm going to start a Bible club on Saturdays. And so from that came a Bible club. They didn't have anywhere to meet. And so they met on the grass. They met in the shade. They came and they would do it for like an hour, until finally one mom said, hey, what if you came for longer than this? Said, well, we can't, because, you know, we don't have access to a restroom. We don't have a building to meet. It's really hot outside. An hour is about all we can stand. I just said, what if I got you a building? And so she worked out a place for them to meet, and they started a Bible club for several hours on Saturday. Next thing you know, they said, hey, we'd like to have like more than this. And so they started meeting on Sunday afternoons. Before long, without even knowing what he was doing, he's planting a church in the roughest part of town. And God is starting to see some of these kids brought to Christ. Before they know it, he has an unintended church plant in the roughest part of town, there in the Abitetu. Some of these young people get really excited about their church. They say, we need some place to meet, because they're just in a rented facility. Long story short, God ends up raising the money, God ends up supplying, and as they grow, he said, the first time they did a children's activity, they had 100 kids. And they said, what are we going to do with this? God brings them adults. They started getting excited and saying, we need something that's ours. We need some place to have not just they're meeting at a school, they're meeting wherever they could. Finally, and he told me this story. Let's see if I can back up a little bit. Eventually, this is where they end up. But I want to show you, I think I lost the pictures. But along the way, God provides, these children become involved, some of the adults start getting on board, long series of years that I won't take the time to explain. God provides for them a building, God provides for them a property, and these people come and hands-on take the time to participate in building their building. Some of these kids grow up, and they say, I want to serve God. I want to take the gospel just like it was brought to me. And this is their church. We're able to be with them there in Sorocaba after the team left. We were able to go and be, if I can get the picture to change there. That's their church. This is now about 15 years later. This is Faith Baptist Church that God has raised up in the roughest part of town. And now God has raised up this church as a sending body. This church is not just the product of someone who was led to Christ by missionaries. Now this church is sending out their young people. And you come to that last picture there, if I can get to it again. David, if you just skip that last picture for me again. That very final picture. So Frank was raised there in the Abitetu, raised as a kid, literal kid. And I lost some of the pictures I was going to show you there. In that church, God calls him to preach, and we're able to go there, and we're able to see him saying, you know what, I have a burden for people who grew up like I did. I have a burden for the people back home, the kids from the slum, the kids who don't have anything. And I can tell them about the gospel because they'll listen to me. So it's exciting to see there. You see in the orange product, a second generation young person who wants to serve Christ. There in the red, second generation Christian who wants to serve Christ. And there you see product of missions that started one church, and the graduate from that church starts another church. And now you have Frank, and he wants to go. And this is truly 2 Timothy 2:2, teaching faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And it's what Mr. Weitzel said. Sometimes you plant, you don't see anything for a long time. You give You put your dollars in the offering. Sometimes you never hear. Or maybe you participate in a mission trip and you don't know. You know who helped go build that church there, Calvary Baptist, where Alexandre, my friend, was saved? Brother Mims. He's able to be one of the people who went down, had a part in seeing that church built. 20-something, 25-plus years later, he can see now some of the fruit of what God does. So you never know whether you're part of the planting, you're part of the watering, but it's truly wonderful to see God giving the increase. And that's missions. That's God. That's nothing we can claim. That's nothing we can say we did that, or, you know, look at all the great things we did. But we get to serve a great and powerful God who works in ways we never could have imagined, and it truly is a blessing to be a part of that. I hope tonight, we've held you a little longer, but I hope your heart has been challenged, your heart has been warmed for the cause of missions, not just around the world, that God has people right here in Chattanooga. God has some of these young people right around you that he wants to use you to be a part of writing their story. Let's pray and be dismissed tonight in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight to hear of your work, to see how you have done great things. And for that, we give you praise. Lord, many things we'll never see. We'll never know till we're in heaven how we get to share in partnership with you. But Lord, I pray that we would have the faith to partner with you, to have a heart for your work here and all around the world. Lord, that you would use us in your work. Use us this week to be lights for Christ. We pray for Vacation Bible School upcoming. We pray for gospel opportunities, that you would do your work in us this week. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a good night. You are dismissed.
Thank you for joining us. Jesus said to those who believed on him in John chapter 8, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We join our God in desiring that you will know the liberating power of the truth of God's word as you apply it to your life. We would love to hear from you and find out what God is doing in your life. You can go to our website, stanleyheights.org. There you can contact us with your prayer requests. You can ask a question. You can find a free resource to study the Bible as a guide in your journey. You can get other sermons and other free resources that are available for you. While we're talking, may I ask you this question? Have you made the most important decision of your life to turn to Jesus Christ and receive him by faith to be your personal Savior? Oh, if you haven't, would you do so right now? And if you would like some more guidance in that decision, you can go to our website, stanleyheights.org/eternity, and you'll find some help that will guide you in that decision. Again, thank you for joining us. I'll look forward to hearing from you soon.